So the change we see in how life science manufacturers are investing in systems and process breeds gaps in quality and oversight.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to use AI for drug safety and pharmacovigilance. Between 2009 and 2019, the number of adverse events recorded by the FDA adverse event reporting system increased by more than 300%. In 2021, more than 2.2 million adverse events were submitted to the FDA. I'm not sure what proportion were COVID-related. However, with this high volume of increased adverse events, there's a much more increased burden placed on pharmacovigilance and drug safety professionals to accurately, efficiently evaluate the data behind these. Therefore, it's become paramount that we implement technologies, AI-powered, to reduce the workload on these professionals while simultaneously ensuring precise and systematic evaluation of the data present at hand. My guest today is Raj Vaghela, founder and CEO of PubHive, a company that specializes in using AI and technology to automate drug safety and pharmacovigilance processes across PV literature monitoring, safety reviews of literature, aggregate safety reporting, signal surveillance and detection, and a lot more. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and why you founded PubHive?
Sure, yes. Being a deep expertise in the scientific literature and safety information workflow, I earned by working almost 20 years with different size of companies in terms of a biopharma company, where I would say like a Johnson & Johnson, MSD, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Purdue, many, you can name it. I work with them, and not only the within that company, I also work with different departments. When I work with the different departments, such as R&D, drug safety, medical affairs, pharmacovigilance, publication planning, and library, and many. So being in that space with them, with the different companies, understood how they're using the information, maybe with their vendors or maybe their service providers, and how internal team connect together. So being in that space for many years, I stepped out after that for around 2 years. And I realized after 2 years as well that customers and market challenges still not effectively addressed. I keep seeing some of the tools and technologies where they are using it, but still they're connecting with different data and different systems. So I decided to jump back and start PubHive.
Interesting. And there's a real shift now we're seeing in pharma to capturing structured and unstructured data, including real-world data in order to understand how medicines are used and, of course, the outcome of their use. Could you tell me what you've seen in this space across the pre- and post-market phases?
We see a growing volume of data and importance of harnessing this data. The application exists in the post-market safety, market access, health economics outcome, and research. The challenges are volume of data, the amount of data get generated. At the same time, it's diverse type of data. It's not just only one way or two way, that multiple type of data. At the same time, some of them are structured way data, the way like the journal literature, the way they generate data, but unstructured data, which is like in a form format where they're getting all this data. And the fourth is a generally low level of cross-source platform standardization of this data. So we think at PubHive that there is a need to go beyond the standalone tools with this silo information, migrating to unified platform that can support what we at PubHive call super aggregation. So because you have this multiple type of data in the pre-market that you generated phase or in after post-market you generate the data, and how that get aggregated within a one platform and serve them by providing a department and user activity-based workflow approach. This is where the PubHive fits into that needs.
Mm-hmm. And so how have pharma traditionally attempted to approach this, and what changes are you seeing now in the industry?
We see a lot of standalone tools, but supplemented by manual processes. We also see a growing amount of outsourcing. The friction we see is that external service provider performing their activities based on the activity decided with manufacturer. But at the same time, manufacturing also internally, they're also processing same information with limitation of adding internal resources. So here's outsource activity going on, some of the in-house activities going on, they're combining together. So the change we see in how life science manufacturers are investing in systems and process to bridge gaps in quality and oversight.
What would you consider the most significant challenges?
At PubHive, we see the biggest challenge is to find a platform that supports continuity of work and centralize the missing critical information. Both work that is outsourced as well as the work that is in-source, especially in the information flow back and forward between the manufacturer, partner, and service provider, and by using multiple systems.
Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit about how PubHive addressed these issues?
So PubHive is a validated cloud-based software platform. When I say validated, it means it's such an important factor of when you are dealing with any system where it's connected with your safety information. So this is where the PubHive is a completely validated system. We're featuring basically multiple modules which tailor to a specific department and use cases inside the typical life science industry enterprise. This is versus the other platform, which provides like a minimum common denominator approach, which basically provide often take a one-size-fits approach to meet all the department needs, the user's needs within that like kind of software watered-down view. While in our side, is we have our flexible modules are designed for drug safety and pharmacovigilance. So if you're coming from the drug safety and pharmacovigilance side of it, you can use our platform for literature search, review, aggregate report tracking, signal surveillance, and signal detection. We also have another module for systemic literature review for HEOR. And the third module that we have is for R&D and medical affairs literature workflow, which is targeting on the, medical information response, or if you need an MSL activities. So it covers number of departments within that platform, but they can serve the system serve them as a modular approach, so they can configure and fit their needs. The biggest under advantage here we say is that manufacturer, partner, and service provider can collaborate on the platform to keep their activities and information centralized.
Nice to get rid of that silo. And what data do you use, and how are you applying AI within the platform?
It's interesting. So with respect to AI, we focus preliminary on scientific literature and signal source data. Our AI engine looks for inputs to identify products, patients' information, drug reactions, and it also factors like miscellaneous inputs. So not always the same input you needed for every time with your based on the rules that you have decided, but we have a miscellaneous input or blacklist information because you know certain rules, you don't want some information, otherwise it triggers another output. And we have exclusion criteria to tune the AI engine. It uses different prioritization rules based on the client configuration, because it could be based on the product, it could be based on therapeutic area, or it could be based on certain topic that they want to curate within the AI, within the AI engine's point of view. So user can provide their feedback and then retrain the engine that associate with their workflow. So they now know that, okay, this activity happened, and they make some changes, and that the engine will take care of in consideration and make it as the next time when it's running, it provides another output based on their needs or workflow. A client can leverage custom ontologies to further tune the AI engine. The ontologies are important for avoiding what one contact during our life science engagement mentioned to us is the snake oil of AI, which they use as a reference to misleading marketing or scams, because that's something that right now the world being used, but if you see that how it's been utilized, you need certain structures, and this is what we have in our platform for AI.
Could you give me some case studies of how pharma companies are using the platform and you know, what they were doing before and how they changed their processes after using the platform?
Yeah, sure. So currently, if I need to go to case study, if I go one step back and explain, mm-hmm. like, what really triggers that interest on a platform point of view, mm-hmm. like a Popeye, right? So yeah. in that case, it's like when they're looking for upgrading their existing R&D and medical affair workflow, when, especially when they want to trigger point is when they want to move from multiple tools to a single platform.
Mm-hmm.
The second point is about filling gaps in safety system. When they're especially looking for replacing the spreadsheet trackers in their literature search, aggregate reporting, signal activities, where they're looking for a systematic way to store this information, track this information, and report this information. So that's where they're also looking for our platform, the trigger point of view. In the case study point of view, we do two approach. One is standard case study, but we also use a TFQI, which is a total financial and quality impact process with many customers to help them to make a business case. Because sometimes you know that, yes, something is there, it's required some change, but when you perform the TFQI, you get a complete overview of like a business case. Basically, you create the business case, which captures the baseline activities, identify and quantify the financial impact of the efficiency and efficiency gain, and also identify opportunities to boost compliance, oversight, and audit. And let me take a recent case study that we have. Is our client outsourced. One of our clients outsourced all the literature screening activities such as ICSR, signal, aggregate reporting, and QC to a CRO vendor, which screened 100 of references each month on their behalf. To comply with the requirements, CRO only provide a vendor only reportable information, and the rest of information stays within the particular part. That means the client did not have the comprehensive documentation it's required for oversight and the compliance purpose. The big amount of information is now hidden, right? Because the manufacturer, they only receive the reportable information. So at the end of the day, they also need to know how they can have that information within that space as well. So when adoption point of view of the Popeye platform, clients subscribe to Popeye platform, which basically this particular client subscribe our drug safety and pharmacovigilance module, which we call a Pulse module, and it is validated platform. We do not have any user limitation. So it's a zero user or seat limitation that commons with other industry solution. So the advantage of that is now client bring their internal team as well as their service provider vendor as well, CRO, to access the platform. So in this situation, what happened is system provider now perform within the single platform. Now all these teams can perform the activity. Not only activities and workflow, they also leverage the AI based on their productivity and efficiency point of view, that what they really want to change. So system is provide one solution to two different teams or two different priorities on the platform. After, once they start using it, Popeye Navigator delivers clients a real-time saving, because now they can see that the data is coming in, it's been reviewed and perform all the activity by the vendor. Now they have a complete oversight. At the same time, they can see, okay, the global literature is coming, local literature is coming, so they can monitor. They can screen, report, and also generate all the different logs they require for the compliance point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So client was really happy. Client closed audit readiness and oversight visibility gap on our platform. They can see the Popeye Navigator has become a single source of truth for all the literature-related activities, safety information. And at the same time, now they can scale the infrastructure. So now they can add more team members if they want, or if there was more activity needs to be performed by a vendor as well, they can also do it as well. So this is where that kind of all combined together. An advantage is the knowledge that's coming from their vendors and the manufacturer team together, it leverages the AI engine, which gets tuned, but it works across all the different parts of the system they're using on the system in terms of their workflow activity.
With the different types of users, do you have a different profile or a different interface depending on the type of user that you are in the system?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Yes, so different department, different modules. But within the modules, that different user have different roles. Mm-hmm. So our system is super intuitive. It's a role-based, meaning that facilitate intuitive workflow based on your user role and the task that you perform in the system. So okay. Yes, you can see the entire system when you log in, but then you can see only the steps that you need to perform on the system. So that's basically give you a guided entire process to do what you need to do on the platform. So so advantage is the platform is flexible and configurable. It means if you need, let's say your role is promoted from one role to another role, then you can just, as an administrator, to make a configuration, and now you can see the complete different picture because now you were used to perform, let's say, one activity. Now we can perform three activity.
Yeah.
So this is the real, and I can take one quick example here, is that a user, let's say an ICSR user who's doing the screening, they can do the screen, even they can see the QC portion, they cannot perform the QC of that work they have performed. So this is where they can also see some of the restrictions that already applied to them. Which prevent them to not to make any mistakes. So you can see like how that being controlled, but at the same time, they're flexible enough to complete their activity on the platform.
I see. And is it fairly easy to use in any of those roles? They just log in and it's quite straightforward?
Yes. So this is a good point. Yes. So once they log in, they only see the information required for their role to complete the activity. So if I log in as an ICSR user, for example, for the screening, I can only see the ICSR part. If let's say I'm just a QCer, then I can also perform the QC. But at the same time, if your role is this activity, but let's say your role is only read-only user, so you only perform as a read-only user, you can only generate report, for example. So based on your role and based on your permission, system provides that interface.
Okay, that's really good. And so for literature search and PV monitoring, how does it work across languages and countries?
Interesting question. So the classic software approach on our platform supports multiple language characters via Unicode characters. So basically any language, for example, let's say Chinese characters or maybe any other characters that needs to be identified. So the system works across all the languages. So beyond that, platform also identifies the publication language and the location, country of incident, and other geodata markers. So in our pharmacovigilance and drug safety module for literature, the platform is also support that when we are performing any automatic activities, within that activity, we also have what we call a local literature, publications that are not indexed in the global literature databases, are often only available in local languages in the countries like Finland, Germany, Iceland, and others. So in short, it supports the stakeholders across all countries and territories. So any language requirement in terms of the local point of view or global point of view, it provides central tools to perform those activities.
So this would be really good for global to basically put out for all of the countries.
Yes, correct.
Well done. Very impressive. So if there's anyone listening who really wants to find out a lot more about PubHive, if you go to PubHive, PubHive.com, you will be able to see a lot more about the system and be able to reach out to Raj with any questions. Thank you so much for your time today. Fascinating. Congratulations on what you've achieved with that. And I look forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.